The sermon title is "The World Has Chosen a Lie," and I want to share a message with you that the Lord gave me this week through a message and interpretations. And after he gave me the message, he gave me an explanation to the message, and I want to share that with you today. And I believe that this message was to this whole church family. The Lord said, "I love you with an everlasting love. A love that is like the stars, a love that is like a consuming fire that cannot be quenched." He went on to say, "Walk circumspectly to my word. Keep your eyes on my son. I have much for you to do." So the explanation of this message that the Lord gave me, the Lord explained, as his covenant with us is everlasting, so is his love. That covenant that was signed, sealed, and delivered by the blood of Jesus was a covenant that he would share with his people, if anyone that would accept him as Lord and Savior, and it would be an everlasting covenant. There would be no backing away, no changing his mind, and God's love for us is just like that covenant. It is everlasting. His love without end. He says, as the stars are innumerable, so is his love for us. We can't put a number on God's love for you. The love that he has for us is like a consuming fire. It is so intense that nothing can extinguish it. That we need to walk in the truth of his word with honesty and integrity, circumspectly. I believe that word only comes up twice in the Bible. It means cautiously. It means with a sensitivity to his word, that we are sensitive to his word and that we walk a walk of faith and trust, to keep our eyes on Jesus, that he is the shepherd of this church. For not my will, but his will to be done. Doesn't matter what you want, it matters what Jesus wants. That's what really matters. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. And finally, the Lord has much for us to do. Are you ready, church? He has much for us to do. Praise God with the excitement that he shared with me. And I was excited when I got that message, and the Lord, through his spirit, just began to unfold that. And I was just excited because he has so much for us to do. We have to be about our Father's business. The word says that we need to occupy until he comes. And we're going to continue to occupy. Doesn't matter what the world is saying. Doesn't matter what the world is doing. People think it is bizarre because we are building a church. They're closing churches. You don't build churches. But God's still building his church. And if there is five people left in this world that need to know Jesus, then this church needs to find those five and needs to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everyone that can get in the ark of Jesus, we need to get them in that ark. And before the Lord would take us home. Not in our 35 years of ministry have I seen such a time as now that we need to make sure that we are walking in the truth of the Scriptures, and I believe that wholeheartedly. I have never seen a time as which the time is that we live in today. Because we even see the churches that are walking away from the truth of God. They're not standing on the word. They're not believing the word. And they're not preaching the word. I've been saying this the last few weeks. We believe in the fourfold ministry of Christ, that Jesus is our Savior, that he is our healer, that he is our baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and he is our soon returning King. We're never going to back away from that, church. We're going to continue to preach and teach the Word of God, because there are so many churches that are now walking away from the Word of God because of the intensity that is in the media and the intensity that is the force that is being pressed on them, that they need to stop preaching the Word. We're not going to. It is unbelievable that I shared that number with you last week, that 52% of all Christians believe that other beliefs can get you to heaven. There's only one belief that can get you to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other. And why do I say that? Because that's exactly what the Word of God says. We're going to believe the truth. We're going to walk in the truth and proclaim the truth. This world is not evolving. This world is dissolving before our very eyes. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read verses 1 and 2, and we read it many, many times, and we'll read it many more times as we wait on the Lord. But he says in verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." Yes, we are in the last days, and yes, these are perilous times. Why? Because man has forsaken the love of God and has gone into the idolatry of self-love. Now, I want you to know that in the Old Testament, they always talked about idolatry all the time. But in this day and age, we don't talk much about idolatry. But don't think that idolatry has gone away, because there's just as much idolatry in the world that we live in today than there was back in the Old Testament. But the idolatry has taken on a new picture. We don't have graven images, or we don't have pictures of things that we worship. We worship ourselves. We have put ourselves on the throne of our life. And when you put yourself on the throne of your life, he goes on to tell you what happens and what takes place. Mankind is not worshiping God. They are worshiping themselves. My niece, when she was little, said it best, "I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it." And her childhood innocence, even though it doesn't sound very innocent, but she was a very, very little girl, she spoke volumes when she said that. When you're not worshiping and giving reverence to an almighty God, you are worshiping yourself. You have become your own idol. Doing what? What you want to do when you want to do it. As we read on in this portion of Scripture here, it tells you what you get when you do that. So if you read verse 1 again, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, and despisers of good." So that's the outcome. That's what you get when mankind decides that they are not going to reverence God anymore, but they are going to follow themselves. He goes on to say in verse 4, they will become traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Is not that our world today? Our world is all about education. It's not about what you know or about what you can do or what you can accomplish. It's about what the degree is that you have. And if you have that degree, you can go a long ways in this world just because it says it on a piece of paper, because this world is ever learning but doesn't ever come to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the truth. That's the truth of this world. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." There is no life outside of Jesus, only existence. And there's too many people in this world, they're only existing through life. They've never experienced life like you or I have, because they have never accepted Jesus. And the sad part of it is, in the world we live in today, they don't see any need to do that. The world we live in worships the creation and not the Creator. They have exchanged or made a trade of the truth and decided to believe a lie. Turn with me to that scripture, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 22. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 22, and we're going to read verse 22 through 25 to begin with. And in verse 22 of Romans 1, it says, "Professing to be wise, they become fools, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. You see that? Where they changed their love for an incorruptible God, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like corruptible man. And birds and four-footed animals and creeping things, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This teaching here is that this God I don't want to follow no longer. I want to follow myself. Verse 25 again. Who exchanged? They traded it. They traded it. They who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. The root of this whole thing is idolatry. Because they're not reverencing God. They don't want to serve God. They do not want to submit to God because they want to do what they want to do when they want to do it. And if you're going to live a life where you're going to do what you want to do when you want to do it, then you're not going to be serving God. Amen. So you did what? You've just displaced God off the throne of your life and you've placed yourself on that throne. We see that time and time again in the world that we live in today, that people are wanting to worship themselves and they don't even realize it. And once again in the scripture, we see the outcome of this. If you look at Romans chapter 1, verse 27, and we read 27 through 32, he says, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with uncleanness, unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. You get at that at the end? They approve, even though they themselves don't practice it, they approve of others that practice it. In verse 26 and 27, I want to read that to you again. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, receiving themselves the penalty of their which was due. Now I want to give you a personal reflection on this. God loves gay people. I want to say that again. So what I have it on tape, so when they block us off of Facebook, they're going to hear those words again. God loves gay people. He loves adulterers. He loves fornicators. He loves those that are involved in sexual immorality, but he will not accept it. And when he looks upon it, he can't turn his face towards it because it is a sin. But God does not agree with their lifestyle. It's amazing in this world that they can give you all the disagreement that they have of you, but you just don't dare disagree with them. But God disagrees with their lifestyle. I don't care what you say or what you think. You can take God and you can move him off the throne of your life and you can put yourself on your throne of your life. But when you stand on the Word of God says he does not approve and that it is a sin, as all sexual immorality is. I want this church to be a church. I don't care who comes in this church. They are welcome in this church. It's not that we accept their behavior, and it's not that we accept their lifestyle, but we are going to love them into the family of God so they will renounce that behavior and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior and put Jesus back on the throne of their life. Amen? We need to be loving to those people. Homosexuality is like any other sexual sin. Fornication, adultery, homosexuality. Don't put a label on it as this sin, and don't throw it in categories that one sin is worse than another sin. It's all sin in God's eyes, and Jesus took every one of them to the cross. Christ came to set us free, forgive us, so we in turn will turn away from sin. It was like the guy that would tell his wife, well, you know what, I was born a womanizer, I've always been a womanizer, and I'm always going to be a womanizer. Is that okay? No, it's not okay in God's eyes, because it's adultery. It's just as bad as being gay in the gay lifestyle. It's just as bad as making the wrong choices that people make wrong choices to do. What is the sin that keeps you out of heaven? It's not being gay. It's not being homosexual. It's not being a part of all these other things. The sin that keeps you out of heaven is the sin of not knowing Jesus. Because that's what the Holy Spirit comes to do, to convict those that do not know Jesus, to confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then what happens? God is a God of deliverance. He delivers people out of those things. And we praise Him for that. Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. In verse 27 of Genesis 1, so it says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created him. During the time of COVID in Canada, they were putting pastors in jail for not closing their churches. And it wasn't that they were just putting them in the county jail. They would take them to a federal prison and put them in a federal institution for not closing their church during the time of COVID. Now, in Canada, they have made it against the law to speak out publicly against the LGBTQ and however many other letters we're going to add to that. Because I remember when it was used to be LBG. And I said at the time to Carol, I said, I wonder how many letters they're going to add to that. They're going to keep adding later letters to this. I want you to realize that. To speak out publicly against that community that you disagree, that it is a sin for them to live in that lifestyle, it is against the law. Pastors will be put in jail and maybe even in prison over it. It's already been approved in 3 states in the United States that this is against the law. It's coming. Someday I could very well think that you may be coming to see your pastor at prison or in jail. But we are not going to stop preaching the word. And we're going to keep preaching it. I said to Carol, I said, mate, someday I'm going to have to go to jail. She said, I'll come visit you. She wasn't weeping. She wasn't how sorry she was. She's, oh, it's a terrible thing. I don't even want you to think about it. She says, oh, I'll come see you. I'll come see you. The Apostle Paul did some of his greatest work in prison, didn't he? There are other countries that are following suits, and already this is in effect in 3 states. Now, and I didn't realize this until Jason spoke on it a few weeks ago, now kids are asking for litter boxes in the bathrooms at school. Because some believe that they were born a cat. Can you believe that? I can't believe that 53% of Christians believe that in the world that we live in today, you can be saved through Islamic or Muslims, or you can be saved through all these different avenues of these false religions, but 53% of Christians believe that you can't. I cannot believe either that people would believe this, that maybe they were not born a person, but they were born an animal. And that's not only the case. It's not only that they have said that. In some schools, they have put litter boxes in the bathrooms. Why? Because they think that they want to go to the bathroom in a litter box because they have been born a cat, that they are not a person. There is no stopping to this. I ask you, when is the insanity going to stop? When people return to God. And the insanity is not going to stop until people do return to God. I remember Joe saying a few weeks ago, or just a couple weeks ago, he says, are we going to have to start editing your messages so we take these things out? And I said, no. If they block us on Facebook, they block us on Facebook. We're going to continue to preach the word. God will make a way when a way doesn't seem possible. But you know what? A lot of the large evangelists and a lot of these large denominations, they're going to stop preaching about this. they're going to stop preaching about this because they feel the pressure of the world and they're afraid it's going to shut their ministry down. They're no longer going to be on TV. So all of a sudden, you're going to see that screen wiped clean. Since when do we stop preaching the truth of God's word, knowing that God is going to bless us because we are preaching the truth of the scripture? I felt the resistance from the adversary this morning getting ready to preach this sermon, because I know he doesn't want this message to go out, and he doesn't want this to go out through into the congregation as well. So I felt that resistance when I got here, and I felt the resistance through our song service, because there's the adversary doesn't want that to be spoken. He doesn't want the truth to be spoken. He wants people to exchange the truth for a lie. When people exchange the lie, the other way around, when they exchange the lie for the truth and forsake the idol of self and put God on the throne of their lives, that's when it's going to change. And I have news for the world that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord. Either do it now or do it later. And later's not going to be a good time to do it, because you're going to do it at the great white throne judgment. Not the resurrection of the just, but the resurrection of the unjust. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Almost done. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is where we were at earlier. And I want you to go on to verse 10. So we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. And he says, "But you have carefully, congregation, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from the childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Chapter 4, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." The church will preach and teach the word of God according to the scripture, not man's doctrine. One last scripture I want you to turn to is found in 2 Chronicles. This is a scripture that we've read many times over the years. You're familiar with it. But you go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles in chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you go down to verse 14. This is what it says. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." Many times when we pray, and we're going to close in prayer here. Many times when we pray, we will pray for repentance for our nation. But we never pray for repentance for ourselves. It's easy. I pray for somebody else to repent. But I never stop and think about that I need to pray for repentance for myself, that I need to repent. I think Christians only think that the only time they ever had to repent is when they accepted Jesus. And now that they accepted Jesus and they've been born again into the kingdom of God, they never have anything else that they need to repent for. Well, we all do. I repent because I lost my anger. I repent because I responded in the wrong way. I repent because of my thought life. What did the Lord Jesus say in the scripture? He says, if you look upon a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. So just our looks sometimes, we can sin in how we look at something or how we look at someone. So we need to repent of those things. And I think this is a very key thing that we at the Crossroads Gospel Church, we need to pray for the United States. We need to pray for our nation. We need to repent for them, but we also need to repent for ourselves. Will you stand with me today? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we rejoice in your word today. And we thank you for your word, because, Father, your word keeps us on the straight. It keeps us on the narrow. It keeps us on the right and the correct foundation, because we as people are so easily to slip off that foundation and take our own avenue. And we have seen in this world that many have. And Father, we come before you today and we believe this word today, that if my people who are called by my name will repent, that you would heal our land, and this land needs to be healed in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you forgive me of all of my sins. The things that I do, the things that I recognize that I do, the things I don't even know that I have done, that I have sinned against you. I ask you today, Father, to forgive me of each and every one of those sins, and I ask you, Father, to forgive those in this country that we live in today that was once a great and powerful nation because it stood on the Word of God, that has slipped into idolatry. Father, we repent for our nation and its idolatry, and I pray that as we repent, that this nation will come back to the truth of the gospel in Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name today, and everyone said, Amen. Amen. Reading from Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.